Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to episode 174. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Nate, what is going on, brother?
Long day.
And what was it, a long day?
Yeah, it just was dragging on, slow.
Okay, so I was going to say, a long day because it was bad, or just a long day because it was, yeah, slow?
It's just slow. Yeah, could have gone a lot quicker.
But it wasn't bad?
No.
Wasn't it? Usual knucklehead type.
No.
Or nobody.
Nah, it's a smooth, easygoing day. Just slow.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what, Wednesday, so recording. And yeah, it's been, it's throwing me off because tomorrow is 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that day off, but then I got to go back Friday. So it's kind of a choppy week. But I won't complain. Not going to complain.
My guys, they all decided that they wanted to take Friday off too. So I was like, okay, well, I'm taking Friday off too. So, weekend.
I like that thinking.
So,
yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, no, we get the one day off, which is cool, paid day off. And then,
yeah. You get paid days?
But we do.
We don't.
Yeah. Whatever.
We get the day off, but we don't get paid.
Oh, you don't get paid?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
Nope.
Oh. Yeah, it's paid day. I'll take it.
We get federal holidays off, no pay.
Really?
And no vacation pay.
Is that standard because of the line of work you're in, or because of union
stuff?
Yeah, our union.
Oh, okay. It's the contract that we've all accepted.
Hmm. I don't like that for you, Nate, but
but it's all right.
Yeah.
I make it up in other places.
Yeah. Well, at least you have a day off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's been a good week. I had a really crappy 2 weeks prior.
Mm-hmm.
Great weekend and great week. Things have changed. And so it's been good.
Good.
I even got the front yard mowed last night before I did one of my cleaning jobs. And I've been productive all week, knowing that I will be off Thursday. And then I want to make sure I get out at a decent time Friday. But
heck yeah.
But yeah.
Should we talk about the elephant in the room?
I don't see an elephant in the room. I mean, there's Winston, the new podcast. He's wild.
Puppy sitting until the wife gets home.
But he's like puppy sitting, drinking out of the toilet.
Yeah, drinking out of the toilet. Yeah.
Who? What's different about something's weird? Something's off.
I don't know.
What's
that
guy's name?
I don't have this.
Steve.
Conscience. saying stuff out of the blue.
We are Seanless.
Seanless.
Seanless. Sean is, where's he at again, in North Carolina?
Oh, he's having fun. Lake Lure.
Lake Lure.
Vacation. Awesome place. We went there with them a couple years ago, I think.
Oh, is that the place? Okay.
It's where, the water scenes and stuff and the golf scenes of Dirty Dancing were recorded at.
Nice.
And then, what is that? Ashland?
Yeah, I've heard of Ashland.
Yeah, it's 40 minutes up the road from it.
Nice.
Where the Biltmore is, which is supposedly haunted.
Or is it Ashland? I can't. I know people are like,
I'm pretty sure it's Ashland, yeah. I keep on say Asheville, but I'm pretty sure it's Ashland.
Ashland? Yeah. Here I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, it could be in it, or it might not be. I don't know. Yeah, we are Seanless. He's on vacation with the fam, so he is having fun.
He said, it is Asheville.
Asheville, okay.
Okay.
It was
I was wrong.
Yeah.
That's standard.
It won't be the first time or the last time that we're wrong.
I don't know why I had Ashland in my
There's an Ashland, Kentucky. I didn't know.
That's probably what I was thinking.
We've talked about that.
Yep.
There's a house or
something. Asheville, I'm sorry. Asheville.
So you're saying it's close to the Biltmore.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, did you go there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. When we went with Jenna and Sean, we to Lake Lure.
Okay.
Um,
man, I can't remember anything.
We went there. Yep.
It's weird. It's like I'm middle-aged or something.
Yeah, I'll show you this real quick. That's where the Biltmore is.
Okay.
Thing. That's all the property that they own. All that greenery.
It's just like our property. In our
yeah,
house.
You know.
It's a similar house.
A few thousands of acres, you know, yeah. In mountain range. And
yeah. Well, I mean, we have a few feet. A mountain range.
Hey, you get it mowed.
Darn right.
It looks nice.
And that's right. And we have a slight slope in our backyard.
There you go.
That's our mountain type.
There you go. Some grade.
Yeah, we got a grade. Anyway, well, good. Yeah, we are Seanless. He's not here this week. He'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be, just to remind the listeners one more time, for the next 4 weeks, for the rest of July. So from the 10th or the 31st, I will not be recording with the boys. Then I should be back in August. They will do a great job, and I will be looking forward
we
to listening
try.
To the episodes that you guys do. And I'll be interested to see what topics you pick, because I'm going to still print out the show flows.
Oh, yeah.
Or type them up, so I got to be involved somehow. But, no, but anyway, yeah, good for him.
Some personal days.
Yeah, that's right. I built them up over 3 years. And what's funny, they're not paid.
Same it. Boat I'm in.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, a bunch of zeros for my days off. Yeah, so, well, good. I'm glad your week is going well.
Mm-hmm.
My week is going well. My daughter, well, you know what? I'll mention that here in a little bit. Oh, gosh, you know what? It's that time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Got away from me here. Bear with me, creepies. It is the sponsor. And I was not prepared. It's like I've not
I don't have this. I don't have the literature.
Yeah. I don't, really weird. Let me find it here. Talk amongst yourselves. Winston, you
come up with the topic.
Yeah. Gosh, this is really bad. I'm not that I can't even find our sponsor.
It's a good sponsor.
It is. It is a good sponsor.
It's a very good sponsor. We're appreciative of having this sponsor.
This is kind of bad, but it's kind of funny at the same time. Here we go. Here we go. I got it here. All right. Mango butter, jojoba, shea butter, avocado, grapeseed, and many other ingredients is what makes Cultured Creature Beard Balm a beard product that will make your beard feel soft, smell masculine, and guess what, Nate?
What?
It'll look great.
Sweet.
I see. I love rhyming it. There are awesome scent options, such as you got Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and many more to choose from. Feel confident at the gym, the office, or out on the town with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. And it's so easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palms, work it into your beard. It's just that simple and effective. And even better, there is no mess. That's a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to transform your beard? Just go to refineyourwildside.com and enter special discount code MAACO10, that's MAACO10, and for that you get 10% off your first order, plus Cultured Creature Beard Balm. They are already offering 20% off. So that is a total savings of 30% off of your first order. What are you waiting for? Go to refineyourwildside.com and our special discount code MAACO10, that's MAACO10, for 10% off, plus the already 20% off on your first order, Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. How about that?
Love it.
Love it. Yeah. Didn't you say you're going to try to get some of that?
Yeah. Well, as soon as I have time to order some.
Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah, we thank Cultured Creature Beard Balm for being our show sponsor. That's awesome. So we want to make sure we plug them. And moving on from our sponsor segment, Nate.
Yes.
It's your turn, buddy.
Sweet. This week's last but not least goes out to the city of Woodland Hills, California, in the country of Japan.
Oh.
They have given us one listen each in this last 7 days. Thank you for giving us a listen. And remember, you're not least because you're last.
Yeah. Thank you, Woodland Hills, Cali, and Japan, land of the rising sun.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, Mr. Miyagi. Hi. Oh, Danielson. Nate-son. Sean-son. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah. One download. We will take it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, every download counts, and we appreciate every single one of them. Thank you, Nate, for reading that. Nate,
Yes.
You're up for first announcements.
First announcements.
If you don't mind.
Oh, yes. I do mind, but I will do it.
You will do
it.
Okay. You're a trooper.
Call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, and any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. And if you or anyone you know is experiencing some sort of bullying, make sure to access stopbullying.gov for more help and support.
Excellent. Excellent. You know what? I dare to say it's better than Sean. Nope.
I'm trying to tap into my inner disc jockey.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You didn't even say bowling. You said bullying.
Bullying.
You accentuated the bullying. I love it. Oh, thank you, Nate. Yes, we. I mentioned on Facebook today that it was on a Facebook group that I've followed, I don't know, for a few months. And this guy, I don't know who he is. He just made a post and said, "Does anyone know any anti-suicide songs that I can listen to?" And I'm like, whoa. So what's interesting is...
Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind. Well, yeah, that's a great song. And what's funny is he did say somebody, I think somebody mentioned that, and he goes, well, I'm not on the ledge anymore. They were giving him songs, right? Mm-hmm. Which that's what he asked for. But 9 out of 10 people were, that's all they were doing. They weren't going, hey, what's going on?
Do you need help? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what? And I'm scrolling down. And one person goes, I think the songs are the least you need. How about? And so they gave the 988 number out. I'm like, okay, awesome. So then I posted on there. I said, yeah, please, you know, I gave them the 988, the 741-741. I said, know what you're going through. I said, you know, I battle depression and anxiety. I said, I stress out a lot. I said, I've had suicidal thoughts in the past. I said, so, yeah, please don't do anything until you talk to somebody, whatever. So I gave the information, and I was like, man, all these people are just going, oh, yeah, here's a song. Well, that's great, but, a little more than that. And so, anyway, it was it was early in the morning, and I was like, man, that really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt bad for the person, and somebody said something. I don't know if it did reference that song, but then he's like, well, I know what he said. He goes, I'm not on the roof anymore, ready to jump off. I'm like, well, good. Thank you. So anyway, so whoever that was, pray for him. Hope they do get the help or the support, whether it's professionally or just somebody to reach out to, a friend or whatever. I said, you are loved. So just know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I said, you're not in it alone. So,
well, and it's as simple as what you did is just give those resources out.
Yeah. Man. So I felt bad. Yeah. I hate hearing other people that go through that. Like, I mean, I don't like going through it myself, but I feel worse when I hear somebody, you know what I mean? Cause I can manage myself and I can do what I need, but you know, you can't force other people to do what they need to do. So, So I hope that person does get the help and support. Cause obviously they were crying out for help and were in a terrible, terrible place. So, so creepies. Yeah. Take care of yourselves. Do what you need to get healthy. Coming off of that, Nate, look, it's the dad joke of the show.
Ooh, I was waiting for that one.
Were you? I could tell. And so because this is the last recording for a few weeks for me, I'm going to give a double shot.
Ooh.
A little bonus.
There you go.
So here's the first one I had. What do you get when you cross a T-Rex and fireworks?
Don't know.
Dynamite.
There you go. Yeah.
Or as what's his name on the heck was the show?
Oh,
good grief. What is going on?
I know
there?
What you're talking about. Yeah.
JJ Walker was his name. Good times.
Good times. Yeah.
Dynamite. Yeah. Dynamite is what you get. You
I was going down the trying to do little arms with fireworks.
I did too. Yeah, when I heard
yeah.
So dynamite. And then the next one. Did you know, Nate and Creepies, that I didn't know Sylvester Stallone was on his third marriage.
Really?
Yeah. His first one was Rocky. And the second one was, I heard, Rocky II.
Yeah, yeah. Those check out as valid. Yeah.
His first marriage was Rocky, see? And then the second one I heard was Rocky too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's the dad jokes of the show. So a little bonus for you, creepies. And as always, my pleasure. You're welcome. What do you think, Winston? Did you like those jokes? He's like, I don't know. I think he booed me in dog talk.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs. Let's get to shout outs. Nate, since Sean's not here,
yes,
you get to start it off.
Okay. I'd like to shout out to my boys. They did their first long road trip together down to Kentucky.
Oh, really?
They left yesterday, and they made it there safely. I believe the longest trek that they've done is going out to their granny and papa's out, you know, like about an hour away from here. So that was a 4.5-5-hour trip that they did.
Nice.
Together. So, yeah, shout out to them for doing a good job and getting there safely.
Staying alive.
Staying alive.
That helps, yeah. Well, good. I hope they have fun. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Any others, or is it just the boys?
No, that's about it.
Okay. Excellent. I'm going to do, spoiled the wrong one. What's that guy's name? Sean Lehman. So, Sean, I asked him if he had any shout-outs, and he has a couple. So, he said, shout-out to Pete Peterson for being a loyal listener. And of course we love Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I look past that he's a Yankees fan. I mean, you know. I mean, you know, you got to pray for these people, too.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you know, not everybody can.
Yankees need fans, too, I guess.
I guess. we love you, Pete. So, Sean wanted to shout you out. And then he says to give a general shout-out to North Carolina friends who are hopefully becoming creepies. Too many names to mention, LOL. So wow. What'd he do? Was it yesterday he messaged you and I?
I think he's having a convo down there, you know.
He said he met some people, and he's like, man, I didn't have any. I should have brought business cards and merch. I'm like, that's what they're for, man. But I would imagine he was able to still give them, you know, tell them about our podcast stuff. So yeah, so shout out to these nice people in North Carolina, and hopefully they do become listeners and
mm-hmm.
maybe follow some of our social media accounts. So that's Sean's shout outs. And then I have two. I'm gonna get the tough one out of the way first. I want to shout out to my cousin Mike Tibbetts. Now it's on my dad's side, so my dad was one of five kids, and his sister, my Aunt Betty, was the oldest of the five. So there was one girl and four boys. And now she passed, you know, gosh, 26, 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But her son, so my first cousin, Mike Tibbetts, he was a firefighter for 42 years, like 28 years on the IFD. And then he went to, I believe, White River Township and then another township in Indiana as like a battalion chief, mm-hmm. and then he did training and stuff. Passed away from blood cancer.
Ooh.
Sunday, and he was in his early to mid-70s, because my dad mm-hmm. was older. He was married before, had you know, so there, mm-hmm. it's just funny, like, I have first cousins in their 70s, and then, you know, my wife has first cousins in their 30s or 40s. Yeah. But, yeah, so shout out to Mike and his kid, my Brian and Jason are his two boys, both firefighters, good guys, and of course they have kids, so, mm-hmm. you know, Mike was a good guy. Harry is his older brother, and then my cousin Kathy. Kathy's, I believe, is the baby, and Mike mm-hmm. was the middle. I felt bad. That's two cousins I've lost in since. See, Phil Hedges was late April, and then now Mike. And Phil was a firefighter too.
Oh, okay.
So
my condolences.
Yeah. So that I hate to hear that. And yeah. Mike was a good guy, and feel bad for his, you know, like I said, kids, grandkids, and his wife. He moved to Florida, and so that's where he was. So he was surrounded by my cousin Harry and my cousin Kathy. So his siblings and, you know, and his wife, at least they, and probably I would imagine the kids and grandkids, they were there as he passed. So
mm-hmm.
just passed this past Sunday. So hate to hear that. So mm-hmm. I'm sorry for that. And then on a lighter note, I want to shout out to the Buster family here in Plainfield. So Ella is her name. She is one of my daughter's good friends. They play volleyball together. They took my daughter to Florida for a week. And, it was really nice. They paid for it. She'd never flown before. So able to get on a plane for the first time.
How are her arms?
Yeah, well, tired.
Tired?
Yeah. but yeah, but just it was nice that because I think they took her a couple years ago or last year, and then they asked her again. And, I mean, you know, paid for wherever they're staying, paid for the plane fare. Just had to bring, you know, spending money. And so they're a real good family. So that was very nice. So I'm glad because we're not doing a big family vacation this year. And so I'm glad that she was able to get away. So they went
cool.
to they're staying in Florida in Fort Myers.
Hmm.
And that's where my family that lives in Tennessee now, they're from Indiana. But when I was little, gosh, I was whatever, 5 or 6 when they moved to Fort Myers. So that's where my mom and I would go on summer break every 2 years. Yeah. So and then we visited Fort Myers when we did our Florida vacation last year. So shout out to the Buster family taking care of my baby girl. So anyway, hope my daughter, I'll remiss her. I'm like, I'm ready for next Wednesday. She comes back next Wednesday, and I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the shout outs. Special announcements. Nate.
Yes.
We have, in Creepies, we have a Mako meet and greet, and it's scheduled for Saturday, August 10th. It's going to be at the horror-themed Scarlet Lane Brewery in McCoorsville, Indiana. We're going to show up at 4 o'clock and be there until they kick us out. This place, Scarlet Lane Brewery, they offer great pizza and, of course, handcrafted beer for your spooky delight. And this location, this is the coolest thing. I love that they have the original Sammy Terry dungeon, which takes, you know, all of us to our youth. So come out and see us then. So that's August 10th at the Scarlet Lane Brewery. I've already had a couple people reach out and say they're going to try to make it there.
Good.
Yeah. And I am anxious to see the dungeon set, mm-hmm. Sammy Terry, and then try their good food.
Heck yeah.
And then we have, of course, getting closer, the Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024 at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It's going to be on Saturday, September 21st. The show does start at 6 o'clock, and arrival time for our guest is at 5:15. We have special guest speaker, friend of the show, paranormal investigator and author, Mr. Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10. They can be pre-purchased or when you arrive at the show. You can pay by... doing tongue twisters. You can pay by PayPal at twhedges312. Venmo at Todd-Hedges-3. My Cash App is $ToddWilliam12. And then, of course, we will accept good old cash. So, hope they come out and see us. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
And as of this past Saturday, it was 12 weeks away. So, we're getting in that 3-month period.
Well,
so
I'm glad I cleared my schedule so I can attend.
Well, hold on. I told Sean he can't come. You just now clear. I mean, I do it myself. I mean, oh man. All right. I'll contact Betsy and she'll have to fill in for you guys again. So it's going to be a good time. Come out and see us at the Greenwood Happy Haunts. That's all we got. Nate.
Yep.
What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Joshua Ward House.
Nice.
And if you're interested, please check out our source links that we used for this topic.
Nice. And it's your pick.
It is.
And it's your pick. And it's a, if I do say, an excellent pick.
Yeah, you know, I try.
It's just what you do, right? Yes, it is your pick, and it is an excellent one. Do you want to do a little foundation on this just to get it started, and we can get into the history, and then we'll get into the creepy paranormal stuff?
All right. I don't really have the right page up for the history. Let me go back here for a second.
And by the way, not to just fill in time, but, mm-hmm. But what I was going to say anyway, I had never heard of the Joshua Ward House.
Me neither.
Knew nothing about it. And it's in, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Salem.
Never heard of that either. Salem was, yeah.
But we, I was just one day noodling around on the internet, just looking up different places, and this is one that popped up.
Okay, I was going to ask you how you came up. Yeah, because I was wondering if you were specifically looking for more, because we have talked about a couple places in Salem, but I didn't know if you like, hey, let's check out some more, you know, houses or locations in Salem, or you just kind of came across it, because I never heard of it.
No, I went through, I did haunted locations and states. And it was one popped up. This is one of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, Wikipedia is not being kind to me tonight. So this is on Washington Street. It is a beautiful federal-style home built for the successful merchant Joshua Ward in 1784. So it's relatively old.
Yeah, for us.
The property has older connections that date back to the witchcraft trials. Today, visitors can still see ragged stones along the building's foundation, which are all that remain of the 1692 home of George Corwin. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think was it the Joshua Ward house that I submitted, or was it the George Corwin house?
The reason I changed, it was George Corwin.
Okay.
But it's mainly known as the Joshua Ward, but George Corwin is the main storyline.
Yeah, for the witch trials and everything.
For the history of it comes from George Corwin. Yeah. But 99% of everything, they still, even in the videos I watched, they refer to it as the Joshua Ward house. But George Corwin is the big player.
I couldn't remember if the chicken came first or the egg.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, and technically George Corwin was in it before.
Yeah, the foundation originally was his residence.
And why they do that, though, because I was looking, and just the more I was reading articles, I'm like, man, they really refer to it as the Joshua Ward. So that's why I changed. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's...
And then actually, it's a boutique hotel called The Merchant now.
Yes, and still, yep. And you can... Yeah, go there, tour it, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
1784. Yeah, it was built. let me get my notes here.
George Corwin was a 25-year-old and was the high sheriff during the witchcraft trials in 1692.
Pretty young.
Yeah.
That's really young. It's not like...
But I guess... Back in that time, that would have been
40, 45.
Yeah, older.
I mean, probably at least. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's, I mean, because that, yeah.
I mean, I would say that if you lived into your 70s or 80s, I mean, you're very, very lucky back then.
Oh, yeah. If you were like 50,
mm-hmm.
that's like living in your 80s today. Yeah. Yes, it is in Salem. so. Basically, George Corwin, like you said, you know, he was a sheriff and not a good guy. But he was in charge of the witch trials, and he did a lot of the torturing and the killing of these supposed witches that they got accused. So he's the one that kind of started all this, and then from there the history, and then, you know, the paranormal comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we've talked about like. Salem period, you know, that in that 1692, the whole town has had, you know, what they went through. There's still generations, like you'll see that their great, 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 great grandma was or cousin or whatever was one of the witches that were accused or murdered, you know, even some of the men, you know, they're now they were called warlocks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of his jobs was escorting the condemned by cart from the prison to the execution site at Proctor's Ledge on Gallows Hill.
Wow. Yeah.
As required by law, Corwin would also confiscate the property of the condemned prisoners, not land, but belongings such as livestock, hay, apples, and corn, and household goods such as kettles, pewter, furniture, and jewelry.
Man.
Yeah, a common misconception... that witchcraft accusations were part of a deliberate attempt to gain the land of neighbors or fellow community members.
Mm.
So they're saying that they weren't doing that, but...
Yeah, right. Yeah. So as High Sheriff, Mr. Corwin, like I said, so he oversaw, and here's a good example of not just the women. Yes, the women were... you know, most of the accused and murdered wrongly, as I might add. But Giles Corey. So he saw, so George Corwin oversaw the gruesome death of, I think it's Giles or Giles Corey. After refusing to comply with court procedure, Giles Corey was condemned to, ooh, this is not going to be good. Pene forte et dure. Okay. So this extreme measure entailed, this is awful, laying the 73-year-old Corey. So he, man, you talk about old in 1692, 73. Mm-hmm. That'd be like 103 now. Laying Mr. Corey on his back and piling heavier and heavier weights on a plank across his body. According to some reports, when Corey's tongue lolled out of his mouth as a result of the weight on his chest, Corwin callously used his walking stick to poke the tongue back in. A disturbing image. Given the shocking nature of his demise, as time has gone on, legend has grown surrounding Corey's death. This tale claims, with his last breath, Giles Corey cursed Sheriff Corwin and the town of Salem. Now, there is no evidence to suggest Corey ever uttered these words, but this has become a popular legend surrounding the sheriff. So that's a pretty brutal execution.
Yes.
To pile all that weight and just, you're just getting crushed, you know. And I watched a video, I watched a couple of them, and the one video was really detailed. They said it lasted 2 days.
Wow.
That's a, so this
just,
guy.
Just for refusing to comply with the court procedures.
Yeah. And, wow. Yep. And so this brutal murder, I'll call it murder, 2 days, but they didn't even mention, I didn't know until 73 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 53, not in horrible shape, but not in like tip-top shape. But like, if you keep piling stuff on me for two, I mean, that's pretty bad. So just stay another 20. I mean, obviously there's 73 year olds going to be in good shape, but I don't care who you are. That's a pretty, that's just torture. You know what I mean? It's kind of like back in the biblical days, you know, how a lot of them, they got stoned. And that, oh gosh, that just sounds awful. Cause it's not a quick death. It's just pain.
Oh yeah.
Pain,
you're just
pain.
Getting pelted until you
bones breaking.
Finally succumb to injury.
Yeah. That's anyway. So that that's a pretty bad one. So Mr. Corwin oversaw that and poked his tongue back in. Like that to me, I don't like this guy. Yeah.
Another myth surrounding George Corwin involves Philip English, the wealthiest merchant in Salem, who, along with his wife Mary, was accused of witchcraft. English's wealth was such that he was able to flee to New York City, where he remained until the witchcraft accusations passed. Upon his return to Salem, he discovered that George Corwin, along with some of the English, or some of English's own neighbors, had confiscated his belongings from his home, warehouses, wharves, and shop. Furious at the degradation of his life's work, English sued Corwin repeatedly for years in an effort to regain his property. Ultimately, Corwin died before the English had obtained any satisfaction from his legal efforts. In a wild, desperate measure, English went so far as to threaten to steal Corwin's corpse and hold it for ransom. While most scholars believe this theft did not actually happen, legend grew. This tale is often retold, claiming that English did snatch the body, or that Corwin was buried in his own basement for years for fear he would be stolen from his grave. So, yeah.
Yeah, it said he was interred. He was a turd. I mean, he was buried in the Broad Street Cemetery.
So, yeah, I could see how this home would have become haunted if he were buried in the basement. And it also says that the idea is that he tortured prisoners in his basement, too.
Yeah, yeah, I was looking, but yeah, it says that he and or his victims might be haunting the site to this day. Yeah, let's see, what does it say? I cannot read. There is no evidence to substantiate the claim that Corwin was torturing prisoners, nor that this was taking place within his own home. However, today popular tradition maintains that the Joshua Ward House is the most haunted house in Salem. I think that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I understand, Salem's a pretty haunted place.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You've got the, man, I mean, just the place itself, the town, you know, the history. And yeah, that, man, 25 years old.
Yeah, it's cool looking home, though.
From what I understand, one of the videos that George Corwin was only 30. Now, see, he died 5 years later. So he was 30. Well, 1696, I believe. And so I think when the witch trials were going on, I think he probably, like, I think turned 26, because they said 4 years later he turned 30. So he died. So he was young when he was doing the whole, you know, as the high sheriff. But then, and then he's also young when he died. You know, yeah, and I know, obviously, we said, well, you know, 30 is probably like 60 today, but still, that's still young. I mean, so, yeah, he was a young guy doing all this, so he kind of crammed in a lot.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time. Yeah. So there you have it. That's kind of the background of who George is, what had happened, what he had to do with the Salem witch trials. From there, they've got some good paranormal stories. Do you have anything lined up, Nate, or... Because I've got, I mean...
Not at the ready at the moment. I'm just reading through some other little stories.
Yeah. So, I'll go ahead and start here. So, excuse me. So, in Salem, Massachusetts, so, yeah, they said that in the Joshua Ward House, said a lot of people, it's spooky hauntings. It says employees, because it is. What is it called? The Merchant?
The Merchant,
yeah.
Yep.
Well, at one time, so they had made it into a realty, and in a book company, it said spooky hauntings were therefore relegated to only the employees and the rare paranormal investigator allowed inside. So they didn't let a whole lot of people. It was off limits to the general public for most of the early 19th century. And a lot of employees, and even they were quoting some on the video, they said that a lot of times... They would go in and, like when they came in for the next day for business, their papers were just tossed everywhere, and that's not how they left them. Office drawers were thrown around, and then furniture was moved. And so they're like, unless somebody snuck in during the night and did all that, which they doubt, what's the explanation? Well, they're saying that... some type of spirit or ghost or something. Yeah, so that's what they experienced. And this was like in the 70s into the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody reported another sighting, that of the sheriff himself, was said to have been witnessed by another former book publisher.
That would be, I wonder, yeah.
It's said that three spirits linger at the Joshua Ward House, two of which are not the friendliest of paranormal entities.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it sounds like a... Sounds like you have your, loss of words, work cut out for you if you go and check this place out.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. It said it, for those who have firsthand experience of stepping inside the Joshua Ward House, I want to say Ward House, they almost always leave with the most unsettling of paranormal encounters. So, for example, a rogue candle flying off the shelves, the aching, ghostly cries of a child, and, of course, the startling sensation of invisible hands circling your neck and tightening. So, somebody, one of the employees, had said that that's exactly what happened to them. They had a feeling of getting choked, and obviously they couldn't see anybody, and it was all they could do was to, like, survive, get the hands off, or whatever they had to do to remove that, the feeling. But
yeah, the one spirit is the strangler.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's. I mean, to have like a book or a candle flying around or papers, that's one thing. But to you know, to get physically attacked, and I know we've talked about all these for all the episodes we've done. I think that would be one of the most scary. Just to have, like, you know, like a lot of them will touch or scratch. Mm-hmm. Not nice, not cool. I don't want to really get hit.
Strangling's a different.
Strangling, that's more of like, I want to try to kill you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you get scratched, that's, I don't think there's intent to kill you, but just to kind of be mean or be a jerk.
Yeah, being malevolent.
Or get smacked or like, okay, that's creepy and like, mm-hmm. whoa, don't touch me. But the whole choking thing, that's bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this guy, or well, I can't remember who it was. Yeah, they said that it's all they could do to get that, you know, get like the hands off.
Yeah, they say that the strangler, they think that it belongs to the High Sheriff George Corwin.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't a good guy in
mm-hmm.
living, so I don't think he would be in the afterlife either.
And it says here that at the age of 30, the monster George Corwin slipped and fell in the snow.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, right. So, they said that that's even not, some people said that's not what happened. They think he either got murdered or somebody took him out.
Mm-hmm.
But then some say, no, he actually did slip on the ice or the snow and fell and killed him, got killed. So,
yeah. And then another suggestion was, medicine suggests that he'd suffered a heart attack.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I don't think they know for sure what really happened to him.
Right. Interesting, kind of going back to the history, and I forgot to mention this, George Washington visited the mm-hmm. house. 1789, he visited Salem, the city in 1789. He asked to stay at the house, and then only a few years old said... or perhaps he asked to stay because he liked the thought of a Washington staying on Washington Street. So, yeah, I think that's kind of cool that our first president stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's second floor guest room held a white marble bust of his person. People walking down the street often paused mid-step when they glanced up at the home and spotted none other than the spirit peering out the window. Not a ghost, of course, just a good old George Washington statue positioned near a window. That would be kind of freaky.
Oh, yeah.
Remember at the Randolph County Asylum when mm-hmm. we had gotten there and they had that mannequin? And, man, I about jumped out of my skin because I didn't – and I thought, what the heck?
Are you guys seeing this too?
Yeah. Like whether it was a – and it, I mean, it was a mannequin and it, like, what was it, like a lacy dress or something like an old
like a wedding type. Dress or something like that.
Scared the crap out. And that – oh, my gosh. So, yeah. I laugh at that now, but kind of didn't laugh at the time. Yeah, it said this would not be the first nor the last glimpse of a spirit at the Joshua Ward House. So, yeah,
there's an angry entity named Giles Corey.
Now remember, he's the one that got killed.
Mm-hmm.
The 73-year-old that got crushed.
73 that got
tortured, basically.
Yeah,
crushed.
Just
reminding the creepies who he is.
So, yeah, his spirit also haunts this area, this building. On more than one occasion, employees have witnessed inexplicable activity that they attributed to the warlock's vengeful spirit. Activities such as books being yanked from the shelves, cold spots, and an otherwise... warm room and candles found in a pool of wax, though the candles were never set aflame. Are all said to be signs that Corey's ghost has not yet crossed over to the other side. So yeah, it says most peculiar is the fact that these candles are often melted into S shapes.
Mm-hmm. Heard that on the video.
Perhaps in honor of High Sheriff Corwin. While the answers continue to elude the living, there is no secret that the final ghost, said to still haunt the Joshua Ward House, has a strong dislike towards women, or towards men, sorry.
Oh.
My eyeballs are deceiving me. she does not hide from making this dislike known. So that brings us to the third entity, the ghost of a witch.
Mm. Who are we talking about? No.
Which one? Well, I think what I read earlier, there's 150 arrests during during the trial,
mm-hmm.
times of the trials.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, yeah, you are correct.
There's plenty of spirits to choose from.
Yeah, there were. There was about 150. and we talked about a little bit, said the one that sticks out the most, Mary English, you know, mm-hmm. her relation with Philip English, was not enamored with the fact that Corwin, in his customary way, went to the English household and confiscated all the goods to be found there. Yeah, so he was suing George Corwin. Now, also it said that listening to local lore, you'll hear a variation of this tale of Corwin's family burying his body in the basement. They feared Philip English would strike another revenge by stealing it. So we kind of talked about that. Other rumor include that Philip English, by throwing Corwin's dead body over his horse's saddle and riding away from Salem's town. That's kind of a spin, so I guess taking it.
Yeah.
But, you know. Said the truth is less exciting, though. Corwin's family interred his body in the family tomb, like we said, on the land, and not in the cellar. It seems, however, though, that Corwin's spirit has never left this land. You know, talking about the strangler, so it says, one visitor was upstairs when all of a sudden he felt an invisible force encircle his throat and squeeze. Air became harder to take in, and he later swore in Robert Cahill's book, Ghostly Haunts, that his throat had closed up completely. Said when he twisted around to see who was there, he found an empty hallway. He was completely alone.
Hmm.
Many believe that Corwin hauled his victims out of the witch dungeon in order to privately interrogate, and in parentheses they put, strangle them in his home. So now the Joshua Ward House, or now that is the Joshua Ward House. There is no evidence suggesting that Corwin did this, but visitors to the property remain wary anyway, and rightfully so, since the mere idea of being choked by a poltergeist is literally the stuff out of nightmares. I can kind of see that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking if the high sheriff was okay with, crushing a man, an older gentleman, you know, by weights and letting him kind of suffer for 2 days and did, and took the witches to the gallows, or, well, I don't want to call them witches, the accused witches to the gallows to be hung and did himself. Why wouldn't he strangle them too?
Mm-hmm.
Because they said it's really hard to strangle a human. It's not like in the movies where they strangle them in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They said it can take like 15 to 20 minutes to actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as easy as it, you know, you think.
Yeah.
That would be kind of a torturous way, right? Like mm-hmm. you're just kind of, you know, you're going to kill them, but you're just doing it slowly, and that'd be horrible. That's a bad way too. Suffocating.
Oh yeah.
And knowing that you're getting suffocated on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trying to fight against something that you can't see.
Right.
This third entity, the ghost of the witch, is most commonly up on the upper floor. There was a holiday party that was being held back in 1980s
mm-hmm.
By the Carlson Realty Group when they worked out of this establishment. One of the employees snapped a quick Polaroid photo. Remember those? Shaking.
Unfortunately,
it.
I do, Nate, because I'm old.
Shaking it, Carlson expected to see the image of a light-haired woman enjoying the party, because mm-hmm. that's who he took the photo of.
Okay, yeah.
What he saw when he glanced down was something entirely different. A dark-haired woman with rough
hewn
features and skin that was so pale and translucent, he had to take another look. This Robert Cahill.
Yeah, Cahill.
Or Cahill. He published his book, Ghostly Haunts. He incorporated the photo of the ghostly figure, and it caught the notice of major TV news stations across the country. I'm going to say country because it looks like a typo.
Yeah. I was like,
not
that
counter.
No. Across the counter. Way across the counter.
Way across the counter.
10 feet across.
Various reports of seeing this dark-haired figure lounging on the second floor had since come out, and most assume the female spirit to be one of the witches George Corwin arrested and imprisoned, and possibly even killed.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen said picture?
I have not.
It's very creepy. It's dark. It looks like, and if you pull up, I mean, I can pull it up or you can. So the picture is this, yeah, this this black image. You can tell it's a female.
Mm-hmm.
And the hair is like Tina Turner hair back in the 80s, how she had mm-hmm. it kind of put, you know, out, but it's like even more, like it's like, you know, the old finger in the light socket. It is out there. Like,
ooh.
It's yeah, you see
yeah,
it?
I just brought it up. That is wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Or it looks kind of like Slash.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more.
Man.
Now, somebody said that, so they were kind of going back and forth because they really were trying to really look over this photo to see if it was legit.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, some people are like, no doubt. It's kind of like anything. They're like, nope, no doubt that's a picture of something, an entity, not human, mm-hmm. or what was human at one time. And then another group said their opinion is that it's a lady. It could have been that lady, the Polaroid kind of malfunction. I don't know what they use.
It looks like it's out of phase. It's very blurry.
Yes.
Like it, like maybe double or tripled exposured or something.
Yeah. And that's what they're saying, that it's a faulty picture. It's not a witch. It's not,
maybe
a, it's not a ghost.
Cause it's a holiday. Not to try
what
to debunk
think?
This,
you, I'll tell
but
you
because
said.
It's a holiday
what you
party, it might be a wreath
that's what,
on the
exactly
door
what they
behind
said.
Her.
That's exactly what
and
they
it
said.
All blended in.
Yep.
Because of the darkness. And
that's exactly what they said. They said it could be the woman that he was taking, or another woman that just walked in. And but it's a wreath that's behind her,
mm-hmm.
and it's just at that very moment.
I could like, see that.
Timing, but other like said,
but I
other
like
people.
The ghost. I like the ghost story.
I do
too.
That's why I know. So either way, it's you know what? Either way, it does. It's a creepy picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So
do yourself a favor and
check
this out.
Yeah, look up maybe. The Salem Witch Polaroid picture, however you want to put it in there, and it is really disturbing because when I saw the,
yeah,
the
I
first
just have
time, I was like, whoa! I was like, this is a little creepy.
I just have a Joshua Ward House haunted.
Yeah.
And I went to images, and it's like the third image.
And we'll put our, like I said, we put our source links in mm-hmm. now in the show notes. So you just go boom right there, and it'll pull up. Yeah. It's really scary, though. It's like, oh my gosh.
It's, dare I say, haunting?
You did say. You dared, and you did.
I dared, and I did.
Yeah.
I like this place. I'd like to go see it. But
Sean
love,
put on, oh, sorry.
Yeah, Sean put on the list.
Yeah, he's a slacker, vacation, whatever. Whatever, Sean.
I like the history of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a matter of it being such an old place.
Yeah. Well, again, like we've said 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1,000, I've counted. The place, like, and you know, like, I don't know about you, but like when I tell people about our podcast, a lot of people are like, oh, you know. Doesn't like I don't know like mainly it's kind of like I just tell them, but some people ask, they're like, oh, aren't you afraid you're going to run out of ideas, or well, I mean, you know, is that real or not? I said it doesn't really matter. I said it's fun to talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I said, but 99.9, well, no, I'd say 100% everything we talk about is I mean, other than like a lot of our minis where we talk about like the legends, like those mm-hmm. funky creatures, but we're still talking about a region, mm-hmm. A country, a state. This is really what happened. I mean, there was 1692 witch trials, Salem, Massachusetts, here in the United States. Now, and these women and some men got falsely accused of being witches, got mm-hmm. murdered.
And if you got...
It did happen. So now
you got tied to a chair and tossed in the pond, and if you sunk, you're innocent.
And
if
you're
floated,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
a witch.
So, yeah, like we talked with, yeah, with
so,
Whitney, it's like you're screwed either way.
Yeah,
you know?
you drowned and died, but
yeah,
you're not a witch.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry we accused you, but... Oh.
Wow, we're totally wrong.
So that's the cool thing. It's like, this is real. Like I said, the history. It's you know, I don't know how much. Man, I've learned so much doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about the paranormal and the, you know, is it real or are they not or whatever, the monsters we talk about. But, man, think of all the asylums and mm-hmm. castles and houses and the Salem witch trials and all the things that, that are real. It's real stuff. And you know what? And that... If there was nothing haunting from, like, if there's no haunted stories or no paranormal, those stories are just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the witch trials were horrible. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, these, and I think we talked when we did our guest chat with Whitney, and we've talked with other guests. Back then, you could just, you had a beef with your neighbor. Witch.
Witch, yeah.
All right. You know,
yeah. All you had to do is claim.
Yeah, and then it's like now the onus is on them to prove that mm-hmm. they're not, instead of like the, you know, the town or whatever.
Until proven guilty, right. It was you're guilty and prove your innocence.
Oh, and guess what? There was all men on. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think a woman had a chance.
No.
You know, back in the 1600s. Yeah, and the same thing happened. They had this. I don't know if it was more or less or the same, but I mean, in England, in London, mm-hmm. or in Great
yeah,
Britain,
it wasn't just Salem.
It was all over.
It was a pandemic.
Yeah, well, all over. Whitney was talking about Virginia, as mm-hmm. listeners will hear the guest chat with her. She tells that story. It's awful. It was all over the world that these people were.
Bell Witch. I mean, there's.
No, yeah.
I mean, witches.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Well, if she was supposed to have a beef mm-hmm. with, you know, the Bell, I mean, mm-hmm. the family. Was it George?
Might have been.
Yeah. Anyway, but the Bell family.
Yeah.
George Bell was a baseball player for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh.
No, but I think it was George Bell. But yeah, I mean, but it's mm-hmm. and it's like when, you know, like sending people like if a couple had a kid, and you know they didn't know about mental health, they didn't know mm-hmm. about autism. They didn't know about all that stuff, and so something's kind of wrong or mm-hmm. different about them. Well, send them to the asylum. Send yeah. them to them and they're like, they're not crazy. They're not.
They're not crazy. Crazy.
They just need. They either a physical. Yeah. Or they needed help. Had a physical mm-hmm. need. You know, physical. And then they sent them there, and then it's terrible. And so they did that with the witches.
I heard a thing today.
Accused witches.
I'm not going to say it exactly how it was said, and. It's sort of a different topic, but I'm going to paraphrase it per se. But it pertains to all these stories and different things that we get into, that even like over exaggerated stories mm-hmm. or, you know, fantasized mm-hmm. stories or ghost stories of what happened and the claims of it.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, it starts off with some little truth.
There is
a truth of some sort in that story. It's just a matter of weeding through all of it to find the actual truth of what started it all.
Right.
So, I mean, the Salem Witch Trials, yeah, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Now, I mean, I'm sure there's glorified stories of, you know, so-and-so was a witch and this is what she did and all that kind of stuff. But down to the root of it, I mean, there was a truthful accusation and, mm-hmm. you know.
I see what you're saying. Like there could have been some, whether it was a man or woman, there could have been mm-hmm. somebody that actually did practice witchcraft.
Yeah.
Is that what you're kind
of
getting at?
Well, sort of, but like like any of our stories, like even like the entities that are haunting this building, I mean, don't know exactly what they are, but are they there for real?
Yeah.
People have encountered them.
Are they from experience? Are they because of what went down?
I mean, they have to start somewhere.
What's the origin
of
them?
There's some sort of truth somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's true. No, I agree. Yeah, like maybe it has nothing to do with the witch trials. Maybe it's just... something totally
Indian burial ground.
Oh, great. Here we go. Oh, man. And it makes its way. You know what we got to do?
Mm-hmm.
We got to do an episode on Indian burial ground. We don't have to. I think we've talked about them enough on almost every
episode.
No, you're right, though.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think, there's something that caused or stirred mm-hmm. it up. Now, what the details or if it's, you know.
That's what makes the stories fun.
I know. Yeah, you know, it is fun. You do want the truth,
mm-hmm.
but if there's something that's like that Polaroid picture, some say, yep, absolutely, that's a witch or it's an entity
of
some type.
It's real.
Well, yeah, whatever it is.
It's physical. I mean, it's real.
Yeah,
that's a real
nobody
photo.
Nobody drew it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what is it?
But what's the truth? There's truth in that photo somehow.
Yep. That's a good way to put it, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have said any better. And I know Sean couldn't because he's not here. I don't care what he says. No, that is true. And it is sad that the Salem witch trials, I mean, the more we talk about them, whether we do an episode on a specific location
mm-hmm.
regarding Salem, Massachusetts, or somehow they kind of go into, like, we're doing an episode, and then somehow we talk about, like, it kind of insert it. And then, like, mm-hmm. Whitney talking about in Virginia, where she lives, there was a lady that got accused, you know, mm-hmm. and murdered for being a witch. It's sad. It's really terrible. And I know that's 300 years ago. Kind of evolved a little better, you know. I mean, people are people. We're always going to have our issues until...
You can find a witch with a blood test now.
Yep. Is that true, Nate?
I might have made that one up.
Nate, are you throwing... Nate's opinions are not those of Middle Asian Creep. Those are only his. I have a little disclaimer. Wow, that's funny. Is there a blood test? You are... I thought of Maury Povich, but you are not the witch. You are not the father. Man, what a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think, wow, that's 300 years ago. Really, though, in the great scheme of things, that's only 300 years. I mean, it is a long time, mm-hmm. but, like, 300 years ago, like...
It definitely would have been a strategy to oppress women.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'd be on their P's and Q's and not trying to cause a ruckus or do anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
so-and-so
would get mad at them and accuse them of being a witch.
Oh, yeah. Their own husbands.
Yeah.
Just because of maybe they, I'll say, spoke.
I'm tired of meatloaf. Quit cooking meatloaf, you witch.
Look, woman.
She's trying to kill me.
I thought we were having Sloppy Joe tonight. What? George?
To the gallows.
That's right. Call Corwin. Man, I can't go over how young he was, though.
Mm-hmm.
You never really hear about back then. Like I said, I know like
mm-hmm.
that is kind of like somebody in their 50s or 60s today, but
yeah.
They still, though, all these stories we talk about, it's always these guys, these women there, and they are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. Yeah, they're older and 25. When he was in charge of...
Well, I've said it before, like I heard recently, like the Declaration of Independence, it was all, like one of the signers of it was 18 and the others were in their 20s and Benjamin Franklin was the oldest.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy.
So it's like
yeah.
that just back then, I mean, it was, yeah. it was a different kind of living, so you grew up, I believe, a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah.
Like you had a lot
harder,
of experience.
Hard life.
Yeah.
Didn't have the medical care, didn't have the medicine, didn't have the health. You know, they didn't know about the... They didn't work out. They didn't do fitness. I mean, their fitness was working in the fields and...
I imagine coming to, you know,
but like
25 to 30, I mean, you're like looked upon to...
Be an elder.
A leader.
Yeah, yeah. Leader, an elder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true. Yeah, that is. It's a different way of living back then. We don't know how well we have it made.
No,
I mean, people gripe. I gripe. And it's like, you kidding me? Just go.
We have penicillin.
Huh?
We have penicillin.
By the way, when I was little, I think I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I was going for just my checkup, I remember, because I did not like the doctor when I was a kid. And my mom, I remember going, hey, we got to go to the doctor. Like, I started, like, getting upset. She's like, you're just going to go for a quick checkup. There's no shots. I hated shots when I was a kid. Now you can shoot me. I don't care. Not shoot me, but you can shot me. No, but she's like, no, but you got to take penicillin. It was the liquid. Mm. It was like a little vial. So I went there, and I was like, okay. And I was like, more, please. It was the best tasting stuff. Have you ever had a liquid like that?
Uh-huh.
It's awesome.
Yeah, when I have antibiotic is like pink or whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was just in this little glass and I was like, well, this is good stuff. So he wouldn't give me more.
I always remembered
it was pretty funny.
Taking Dimetapp.
I've never had Dimetapp. I remember Dimetapp.
It was like grape flavored or whatever.
Okay. It's just
funny. Hide that from the kids because you sit there and chug the whole bottle.
It was. I was like, this is great. I was hooked on oh my gosh, that's funny. It's funny how I can't remember like 5 seconds ago, or I can't remember like I always mess up name. I can't remember what was the name of that show or what was the name of this person. But I can remember when I was 6, 7 years old taking penicillin. Yeah, no, Ashland. Nope. I can remember taking penicillin when I was 7 years old. It's just funny how I can remember 50,000 years ago. But I'm gonna read this last. Do you have anything else, Nate?
Nope. I think we've hit all the major topics of it.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna read this then. Let's close it out. Says talking about the spirit, talking about that witch, that female spirit that's up for debate, whether it is a woman and standing in front of a wreath, or if it's a witch or some type of entity. says, if this is true, then it's no wonder that men who visit the Joshua Ward House bear the brunt of the poltergeist activity. On several instances, they have left with scratches etched into their chest. That sounds horrible. And the uncomfortable sensation that they are being watched. Is it possible that the choking phenomena is not George Corwin's doing, but actually that of a witch he resigned to death with a biased trial? At the Joshua Ward House, all seems possible, including the impossible. I think that's a good way to sum it.
Sounds like a Tuesday night to me.
It's a Tuesday night at the in the Laux house. Anyway, yeah, I thought that was kind of a good way to sum it up. I want to go. You can go there now. It's not burned down or torn down. It's right there. Well, what was it again? On Washington Street?
Washington Street. Because that's why Washington wanted to stay there. Because Washington on Washington Street.
Yeah. So, go check it out. Maybe I was listening to somebody the other day. They were saying that they love Salem, but they say do not go unless you really like crowds and you really want to be, don't go during October. Late September, October. They're like, you can go in like November or December and still get the full
effect.
But nothing goes away. The houses and everything's still there. Everything, the cemeteries, it's still Salem. It's just they don't do as many. Like when you go in October, I guess they've got, I mean, every type of, because they do craft fairs and they got the food and all that. And so it's a little more toned down, but it's just not as populated because I guess it's just thousands and thousands of people.
Sandwich bar on every corner.
I picture it like, you know, growing up in Speedway, Indiana, when, you know, we were about 2 miles from the Motor Speedway, you know, with Indianapolis 500 and Brickyard 400 are. We would go walk night before the race. And even my mom and dad, when I was a kid, we would ride our bikes and all that and go home. And then my brothers, they were older, so they would go to the race and they would walk up and down. Well, then when I got older, then my buddies and I and our spouses would up and down Georgetown or 16th Street. And Crawford,
I've been there. Yep.
And, we did every year. It was great. But just packed, packed. Now you had room, but man, you're walking down that street, you're going down Georgetown Road. It's busy. So that's kind of how I picture it. Just not as drunk, I guess.
Yeah.
fights. And
we were walking down, we're near the, what is that, the VFW or whatever that's right there.
Yep.
We were somewhere in that vicinity.
That's off of Georgetown, yeah.
Yep. There was a street fight broke out.
American Legion. It's American Legion.
American Legion, that's right, yep. These two dudes started going at it, and then all of a sudden, another guy jumped in, pulled his badge out. He was like, undercover cop, you better not hit me.
Oh, man.
The fight stopped real quick.
Yeah, I bet. Well, he pulled that one out.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good, you better not hit me. It's going to be a lot worse. Okay.
And, yeah, we're like, all right, we got to go.
Man, years and years. It was fun, but man, now I'm looking at it going, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 20 years, and I don't want to go. I would love to go there. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Summertime, it's still, you're in Salem. Who cares if it's not in the spooky season? You know?
Yeah.
Because to me, I think that's spooky season all year round if you're in Salem.
Oh, yeah.
So you can still take the tours, still walk around. Mm-hmm. All the sites are there. So, you know.
Man, go check it out.
No kidding. Yeah, and go check that picture out.
Yeah, that's something.
I'll have I want to make sure Sean, when he posts it on Facebook, and then I do a screenshot. I'm going to make sure he gets that witch, because that's a huge part of the story. Like, what is it? Who is it? And is it, you know? So,
I like it.
That was fun. Good choice, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice.
Thank you, Google.
Yep. Well, you had something to do with it. You had to put it in.
I'd search for it. Yeah.
Haunted something, something or another. Sean, do you have? Oh, sorry, he's not here to do his middle aged moment or dark side. So,
no,
and I'm not doing one for him. So, so we're gonna skip that. You'll get one next week, or he'll be here next week. So we get one in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, you want to do the second announcements? Do you?
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you.
You can follow us on all of our social media accounts. That'd be Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com, and that's two A's in Mako. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating because that's the only one that's there. And leave us a review if the app allows. Please spread the word of about our podcast. Verbal spreadage.
That's a different way to put it. Verbal spreadage.
Verbal spreadage.
I like it.
Really helps. some people aren't LinkedIn.
It kind of sounds creepy, though, verbal
spreadage. A little bit, yeah. We sell all kinds of awesome-looking merch, so go get you some. Please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
That's right.
And if you would like to sponsor our podcast, whether you're an individual or a business, we offer multiple levels. Just email us or message us on Facebook or Instagram.
Man. Not bad, Nate. Mm-hmm. I liked your verbal spreadage. That was like, whoa, wait a minute. Where are we going here?
You know. Sean has his way of it. I got mine.
I like it. You know what? You made it your own.
I did.
You made it your... excellent. Excellent, Nate. Guess what? I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, imagine that.
How about that?
Well, hopefully we can ward off any spirits. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's a good. That's a wrap. I liked it. I was wondering where you were going to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 174 and our discussion on the historical Joshua Wardhouse. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.